Okay, that's okay. Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record, sir?
Certainly, good morning to you.
Good morning.
My name is Antonio Aragon. My MA number is 155902.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two allegations that are listed on your warrant of arrest. You were notified about this hearing on March 15th. I see that you signed a paper that day. Do you remember that?
On March 15th?
March 15th you signed.
Yes, yes, I remember.
And it notified you that the hearing would be today. That's all that paper.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and also on that paper is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or did you represent yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, that's fine. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you look on the video screen, all the way to your right, at the very end of the bench is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the center of the bench is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair for your hearing today. Also with us in the room, and you should be able to see him right now, is Mr. Westby, who is with the Department of Corrections. So he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So Mr. Aragon and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I
do.
Thank you. Mr. Aragon, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one of your hearing, sir, I'm going to read each of these two allegations to you, and I need you to respond whether they're true or false. So you understand the process there? Okay, so we'll start phase one of your hearing, and that is that the first allegation, that you were in violation of condition of supervision number four, as demonstrated by your failure to properly download the transdermal alcohol detection device monitor on or about February 8, 2018, as directed upon installation of the transdermal alcohol detection device on or about August 29, 2017 at CHC. Mr. Aragon, is this true or false?
This is true.
This is true, okay. And then the second allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about February 6, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 7th, 2018. Mr. Aragon, is this true or false?
This is false.
This is false? Okay, so I'm going to take some testimony then from Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections regarding allegation number 2. Mr. Westby.
On February 6, 2018, defendants submitted a urine sample at Task Labs. The urine sample submitted on February 6, 2018, subsequently tested positive for alcohol, ATG, from the Task Lab report dated February 7, 2018. And there is a lab report attached to the warrant dated February 7, 2018, that shows positive for alcohol, which is ATG positive for alcohol.
Right, thank you, sir. Mr. Aragon, we have the lab report that states you're positive, so why would you claim that's false?
I've written a thesis. I think I don't know how to correct it, but I've written something on my behalf. Would I be able to read it out loud? You will in a moment,
sir, but for now I just need to know if this allegation is true or false.
Could you repeat that again? Well, when I was talking.
That's okay. It's in violation, the statement is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about February 6, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 7, 2018.
Uh, um, it and say false.
Okay, then I'm going to say based on information in warrant 2018W0441, with regard to allegation number one, that would be based on Mr. Aragon's admission. With respect to allegation number two, that will be based on testimony by Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections. I'm going to move to find Mr. Aragon delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Second.
All right, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Aragon, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, and in just a moment, you'll have the opportunity, we'll talk with you quite a bit, and then you'll have an opportunity to read your statement. But before we do that, I want to ask Mr. Westby to just give us all some background information about your case so that we are better able to make a decision. So just stay on the line, listen to what's stated here. Mr. Westby?
On August 10th, 2015, Mr. Aragon was released from DOC. He was arrested February 13th, 2018 by DOC staff and on charges. He was back in DOC custody February 13th, 2018, with an injected CCD of June 1st, 2018, 0 stat days. Correct conviction, 2000, theft, 1 year. 2000, armed robbery, 3 counts, each for 18 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUIR score 3-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes that he is a suspected member of the New Mexican Mafia Arizona Security Threat Group. He has no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary violations are significant, drugs, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrests, 1995, left a vehicle, Arizona, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G5E6.
And Mr. Westby, can you just, did I hear correctly, armed robbery, 18 years? 18 years.
That is correct. There's 3 counts.
3 counts. Okay, thank you. So I didn't know if it was 8 or 18. Okay, and the discipline involved, you said, was drugs, violence, and weapons?
That is correct. Subject.
Okay. All right. Mr. Aragon, it looks like when you were released back in August of 2015, you originally went to 3828 West Butler in Phoenix. Is that correct? Your first residence?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And who lives there at 3828 West Butler?
My mother and my two older brothers.
Okay. So this is your mother and your brothers. Okay. And then in 2016, it looks like about 6 months later, you were approved to go live with your girlfriend at 5535 West McDowell in Phoenix.
Yes.
Okay, and you stayed there, it looks like, for about almost a year, and then went over to 3031 West Monte Vista in Phoenix. Who lives there?
We my wife lived there, but now we have since moved and got a townhouse.
Okay, and is that at 4135 North Monte Rosa Circle?
Correct.
Okay, so that's your townhouse. And does your wife still live there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And it looks like you were working first at Allied Force Falcon Construction, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was Falcon Construction. I was working to a temp agency, and then for about, I believe, 90 days.
Uh-huh.
90 days, they hired me on formally as an employee.
Oh, okay. And then, so you must have been a good employee if they hired you on.
Yes.
Good. Okay. How about Echo Canyon Electric? Was that?
Yes. That was my first start of my career as a commercial electrician, which I acquired that from prison as a vocational training.
Excellent. Okay, and then you also, it looks like you worked at Dean's Electric Company, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And were you still working at the time you were arrested?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's see. And you were also signed to participate in the TASC Color Program. And there's no real indication. Were you doing okay with your random, with your drug testing?
Yes, ma'am. There was a few times where I didn't check my color.
Okay.
Initially in my mind, but when I was advised by several POs, they asked me what's going on, why didn't you drop? And they said, I need you to drop ASAP, which I did. And I told them it just slipped my mind, and I was just, you know, the world can be very busy.
Right. About how many times did that happen, do you think?
I'll say about maybe 3 times, maybe.
Okay.
3 times, if I can recall.
Okay. And then you were also referred to participate in CHC/CAP program. And it indicates here that you were discharged due to excessive absences. Why did you miss so much?
It was because I had to go every week. And again, I was worried. I shouldn't have been worried, but I was more trying to be a productive member of society and have a career so I can base that on. And my career was important, and it was so demanding that I, again, like I said, I just get my mind.
Okay, and it looks like they tried again to enroll you, but then you were discharged again in July of 2017 for excessive absences. They re-enrolled you in June.
They did. I recall that they sent me to, I forgot what the name's called, but to the one that's in Adobe. It used to house juveniles. They sent me there for a week to determine whether I qualified in a 90-day program.
Okay.
And then they determined that I wasn't, so they kicked me out after a week. And I had to report back to my PO, but however, I believe that he did send me back to that CHC, which led me to that phase.
Right, okay.
I forgot one day I was late. It wasn't satisfactory, and I believe they sent me over there. If I'm recounting it now, what occurred.
Okay, and it looks like you would also refer for right after that, then, for a program at VIVRE, the Residential Community Behavioral Modification Program?
Yes, ma'am.
And that looks like you successfully completed that.
Yes, I graduated and complied with it without any incidents.
Okay. All right. Then there's a lengthy section of notes here that, if I just scan this and look at it, it just appears that there was a lot of violations here concerning your UA tests. I see here's one for marijuana, and you were counseled to stop using marijuana. Quite a bit of that, and then I see that you also were drinking alcohol, were positive for alcohol. First claimed you were not drinking, and then later you admitted it to using it.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm pretty sure to be honest about that I recanted that.
Okay. I'm just trying to read. Well, okay. And did you know, sir, that you're not allowed to drink alcohol?
Yes.
Okay, well, on supervision here, it says you admitted to drinking one beer. You finally admitted that you had used alcohol, that your wife was drinking alcohol, but you couldn't remember who was there on the 23rd of July. And there's a statement here that you've changed your story regarding your use of alcohol 3 times, and that, I think, is what kind of motivated your parole officer to put you at VIVRE, to the Behavior Modification Program.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
That was the time.
Right. Then again, in August, we had another positive for UA, for alcohol, I'm sorry. And that that's when they placed you with the transdermal alcohol device that can tell if you've got alcohol in your system at all. Okay, and then you had to download, you were informed you had to download 3 times a week for 45 minutes to an hour. Because again, there was, looks like there was a possibly another, I guess that kind of goes back in time. The time on this is, no, that's not. It's again in February of this year now. And you had not, you were also not downloading your device as directed on 4 different occasions. So what is causing all the problems with this?
I had to be truthful. I had been truthful in the beginning when it just pertained to alcohol. But the marijuana, I was there's a word for it, but trying not to use Spanish, I was hard-headed.
Hard-headed, okay.
Yes, that I was looking to ease my, I was easing my mind on the stress of the world. I was in prison for 15 years, which is no excuse, I admit. But I succumbed to that and just looked for something to comfort me and to relieve stress. And when I was found, found that I was using marijuana, they advised to go and get my marijuana card, which I did. I went to get my marijuana card to get my car card. And they qualified me, and I got that. I got my marijuana card.
Okay, so sir, if you have your marijuana card, why in earlier this year, actually a couple months ago, you were found with 6 packs of kratom, which is an opium-based synthetic herb that you had purchased at a liquor store or head shop, and they were in your car. So why, if you had the marijuana card, why would you need to buy this?
Okay. When I bought it, I was misled. I don't know what they were telling me. I looked at it and I thought it was just a filler, like to extend the marijuana that you had. It was a smoke shop. They advertised that, saying, "Oh yeah, it's just like a filler that helps to extend your marijuana. You know, you just put it in there, you mix it with the marijuana, and you smoke it." It was created to make it last longer. Not last longer than the high, but as because it's expensive marijuana.
Right, to make it just to go a little farther.
And they told me that it's not illegal. I thought it was illegal. Oh my gosh, why do you want to catch another case? And they told me no, it's not illegal to buy. You just cannot have this.
Okay, sir. What was your relationship with your parole officer through this whole thing? Did you stay in touch with your parole officer?
I had various parole officers. The longest one I did have was with Randy.
Okay.
I had a good relationship with him. He seemed sincere to want to help me.
Okay, because looking at this lengthy summary that we have, it just looks like the parole people were really trying to work with you and giving you lots of breaks, because understanding that it's really, when you're on supervision, you're allowed to use alcohol and other drugs. So that's what's a little hard to understand, is if you had a good relationship with your PO, why you kept violating their trust that they placed in you. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you.
I have a question.
Okay, Mr. Aragon, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity. You said you had a statement to read or anything else you want to tell the board. So now's the time.
Please.
Please.
Pardon my statement. I do have respect for the authority figures, and I admit that I have made mistakes and had bumps in the road pertaining to the marijuana. And I made amends for that by working with them to just go and take their advice and go get my marijuana card if I liked it so much. So I took their advice on that. And I did have respect for them, and I wanted to tell them the truth, regardless if it was towards my disadvantage or advantage, which was towards my disadvantage, but I wanted to repay back what they were doing for me. And I knew it was just digging my own ditch, if you will.
Okay, sir.
But I wanted to keep my integrity and tell the truth. Because I know the more you lie, the more you lose your credibility. And if it gets other lies, and they're not gonna, and the next time you are sincere, they're not gonna believe you.
Okay, sir. Was that it? Did you have anything else you wanted to tell the board?
Yes, just to highlight on that before I read what I've written.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
It's a little difficult right now.
That's okay, I understood.
So please bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. For the exchange of your time and patience, I will be brief and comprehensive as possible. A few days after the 4th of July of 2017, at task, I tested positive for alcohol for the very first time. I was seen by the head of the pro office, sir, and he demanded an explanation from me. I assured him I hadn't been drinking any alcohol and took a moment to rationalize to myself and further added that it is possible I may have been careless enough to have drank or eaten something containing alcohol unbeknownst to me. Satisfied with the explanation, he decided to let me off with a stern warning to be much more careful of what I consume in the future. Then somewhere between July 27th and 29th, a second positive occurred. Once again, I had to explain myself to the pro office. This time, understandably, they did not believe me. Therefore, it was decided that I was to live at V-Ray, a rehab program, for 90 days or until I graduated from it. At this center, they used a breathalyzer test instead of a UA test to detect any alcohol use. And this breathalyzer test was used on me 2 to 3 times a day. In addition, I still had to go to task whenever my color showed up. Now, approximately 40 days into that rehab program, a third positive occurred, which was again detected from task. My PO informed me that a week from that day, I was to report in for that positive UA. Meanwhile, I concluded to myself that I must not show up empty-handed without a valid excuse. So I looked for a medical explanation for why there's trace of alcohol in my urine, which is giving me a positive for alcohol consumption. When I arrived at a clinic called Circle of the City, I explained my reasons for visiting them. Immediately, the doctor expected to be glucose acidosis, or formerly known as diabetes/prediabetes, where the body's sugar levels surge so high and stay so long in the body, eventually the sugars start to ferment in the blood. And then the alcohol was broken down by the liver, of course, and onto the bladder. In addition, the doctor further explained that there are certainly other facts than diabetes which will give off a positive reading for alcohol consumption and UACE tests, such as using everyday products like perfumes, colognes, hand sanitizers, muscle rubs, cosmetics, and hair and hygiene products. He further explained that our body will have sponges that absorb mostly any chemical, and then these chemicals eventually find their way into the bloodstream. As soon as he was finished explaining, he conducted a blood test on me for diabetes. When the results came back, he concluded that I was pre-diabetic, on the way to being diabetic. I requested a legitimate form from him in order to present this to the probe office about my medical condition and the doctor's expertise. When the day came to visit the probe office, I felt absolutely confident that this would vindicate me from these positives or at least further investigation about my claims. However, to my dismay, they rejected the motions and refused to read about the medical facts or any other facts that would produce a positive test for alcohol consumption. The reason being, and I quote, "We are not doctors." Unfortunately, I don't have those medical documents to present to you before today. As a result of the third positive, I was ordered to wear an ankle bracelet that monitors the sweat on my skin for alcohol. Now I had three methods of detecting alcohol use, which was being used on me from that day on. A UA test, a breathalyzer test, and an ankle monitor test. A man named Jeff of this ankle bracelet program handed me a document to sign while he placed his device on me, which explained what was prohibited to use while being on this program. Ironically, he explained and read what was prohibited to me, that I wasn't to use any products that had alcohol as an ingredient, because it would give off a positive reading from this device. He further explained, just like the doctor did, that at Circle of the City, that the skin will absorb the alcohol from these products. Sadly, I don't have that standard document with me to present to you. However, I would like to point out that a company such as this one is fully aware of these facts, which would hinder the accuracy of their devices while detecting alcohol consumption. And this company, which works in harmony with the Pro Office, as equally as TAS does. How is it possible then when the Pro Office, which relies on these companies to keep track of their parolees for substance abuse, not know about this common knowledge? Finally, the fourth positive occurred, and they grew tired of my same excuses and my persistence to encourage them to further investigate my claims. There could be other facts that I will produce that will produce a positive other than consuming alcohol beverages. Which they concluded that they should send me back to prison anyways. Which leads me to your statement 40. Regardless of these positive ways, I should mention what makes me a good candidate for reinstatement. I have never been on the run since I've been on parole for nearly 3 years. I have never been belligerent nor disrespectful towards any parole officers. I have kept employed. I have checked up with my parole fees. I have fully complied and graduated from rehab without any incidents. And I have worn the ankle bracelet for over 6 months until I was sent back to prison with only one incident that I failed to monitor, to download properly. At last, with a fine quoting statement, with all fairness towards the integrity of the Pro Office, when they decided to send me back to prison, I acknowledge and understand their course of action was to keep the best interest and safety of the community in mind. I can only hope and beg that the board members here today will use all their wisdom and understanding to seek fit to have mercy on me by reinstating me back into community so I may rescue all that remains that I have worked so very hard to achieve. And I would like to also add about when I admitted that I drank one beer. I was being pressured, and I was trying to tell them I wasn't drinking alcohol. I was being truthful. But I don't want to open up a can of worms, but I have to say the truth. I was being bullied, I was being pressured, and to say and to admit that I wasn't drinking alcohol because the results don't lie. But I know the fact I wasn't drinking, I couldn't understand why. And then I was already in rehab already. I was taking the breathalyzer test, and they kept pressuring me to admit, you're drinking, yes you are. I kept telling them I wasn't. Then I just gave in because I'm my freedom, I didn't want to lose my freedom. Then I said, okay, I was drinking no alcohol, one can. They asked me, okay, Aragon, come on, just one can, come on. I said, okay, a few more cans. It was a few, three. Then I came to my senses and said, what am I doing? I'm going to keep to my integrity. I'm going to tell them I wasn't drinking because that was the truth. I told them I wanted to show you respect and tell you the truth regardless if you believe me or not. That's why I took a moment late, board members here today, when you asked me, do you agree or disagree if it's true that I was drinking alcohol, which resulted in a positive way for alcohol consumption. I was thinking, should I just go ahead and take the advice of my fellow inmates and just say you were drinking and go with it, and hoping they'll go with you on it and say, okay, well, maybe you need to rehab. Let's go ahead and just. But this is just a possibility. I'm just being hypothetical. But
okay, and Mr. Aragon?
They're ready for about it.
Mr. Aragon, I'm just going to ask you to wrap it up, please.
Yes. Then I just decided, well, I'm going to just remain truthful and just tell the truth and not say I wasn't drinking.
All right, sir.
Stick to it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to also ask for information from Mr. Westby, please.
Yes. As far as the testing for the cancer laboratories, Doug Kramer, who was the lab manager, he's informed me as a senior parole officer, I've had to get authorization for ETG testing because it is a specialized test that doesn't just pick up alcohol that normally would get from your skin or from soap or any other type of product. ETG is ethyl glucuronide. Is for alcohol coming from a beverage, okay? There's no, when you have an ETG test, it's not going to pick up anything other than alcohol that you would consume from a beverage that is such as a beer or a wine or distilled liquors. So that alcohol will come up in a normal test. And if you look at the lab report at the top, it does, if the very first thing under screening test says alcohol test result is negative, and that's for your common everyday alcohol that you can have come out of your skin. Much like how the transdermal devices, that just picks up general alcohol, but when we go ahead and do an ETG test, that is specifically for commercial alcohol that comes from beverages.
Thank you, sir. Tonight I have toured the lab and somewhat familiar with drug testing and aware of the accuracy of the test. Okay, Mr. Aragon, the board's going to go into discussion now, and we don't discuss cases until we get in this room, and we do all of our discussion in public. So we've not talked about your case before this moment. So just ask for you to stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, Mr. Aragon, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Aragon is an individual who had considerable difficulty around community supervision with various substances, starting with marijuana, and as he said, he complied and got a marijuana card for that issue. But there continues to be the ongoing issues with alcohol. I appreciate what he said about telling the truth, and I agree with him. I think the truth is always the best thing to do. I'm just not really convinced that I'm still confused, let's say, about the details about what happened. But what I can see for sure is I can see a lab test from a lab that I respect, because I've toured the place and I've seen how carefully they work. So I believe that lab result. I also note that it puzzles me that Mr. Aragon was on community supervision for 3 years and that these issues didn't start happening until 2017. So I'm just a little puzzled about that too. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision, but I haven't listened to any input from the fellow board members.
I agree.
I'm going to make a motion and, based on information of warrant 2018W0441, conversation with Mr. Aragon and all the information he provided to us, as well as testimony from Mr. Westby at the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Aragon was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways of company.
Second.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Aragon, you heard the board's discussion. The board has voted unanimously to return you, keep you there, and allow you to finish the rest of your sentence. You've got a sentence and a release date of approximately June 1st, 2018, providing everything goes well in the interim. So we wish you the best, sir, and hope that you're able to complete your sentence, and we hope to never see you in Orange again. I think that you probably agree with that. So thank you very much for taking the time to come to your hearing today, and this concludes your hearing, sir. If you give your phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.